Our reading for this chapel service this morning is recorded for us in the sixth chapter of the letter of Paul to the Romans, beginning at the 19th verse. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here is the reading of our scripture lesson. You may be seated. As we get busier and busy during summer, one of the things that happen when we just take a day or two off is our email boxes get full. All those well-meaning people who want to show us these nice forwards or perhaps want to give us some things, or all the junk mail that comes our way. And so my wife and I, as we got back from being gone for 3 days, started cleaning it up and kind of talking to one another as we did. And I wanted to delete every one of them, but I came across one that had the title Church Signs, and I took the bait. And so I went through, and I thought most of the signs were non-starters. They were things that perhaps we've heard before or whatever. But one just struck me at that time, and it was probably because we needed a little comic relief. And it simply said the question, where will you be sitting in eternity? Smoking or non-smoking? Now, obviously, we laughed out loud as well, because it struck us. It's one of those things that is rather profound when you think about it. But the question really isn't a laughing matter. Not when you consider what it's really implying. But there will be some who forever burn in the torments of hell. And there will be some enjoying the bliss of heaven. So as we consider perhaps this important question, where will we be in eternity? We consider then these words penned through the apostle under the theme of a warning and a promise. You know, at the time of Paul, when he penned these words, slavery was very real. It wasn't just something you read about in a history book. Nearly everybody knew, or perhaps were under, that bondage of slavery. And others perhaps knew of those who were slaves, who had suffered tremendously, perhaps had even died mercilessly when their usefulness was gone. Others, because of debt, were sold into slavery. You know, when you think about it, what would happen today if slavery still was in full use, when we see a momentous amount of foreclosures and defaults on loans, perhaps greater than any time in the history of man? And we wonder, maybe it's not so different, because we just surpassed $1 trillion debt in just 1 year, in 7 months. Are we enslaving the future generations? Now, I know it isn't like treating human beings as chattel as it was in the time of Paul, when it was so distinct and so real to them. But the point that Paul makes through the Holy Spirit's guidance here and directing is this, that sin is a cruel taskmaster. There is no escaping its power. There is no easy way out. And its just payment is death. And yes, some may think that physical death may free from slavery, and it does. But this taskmaster doesn't relinquish its victims even after death. Thus, we see this warning that Paul pens here for our benefit. There is no hope. There is no future in sin, for the wages of sin is death. Luther's hymn verse depicts the stark condition that we find ourselves seeing as we look in the mirror. And yes, oft times man would hope to somehow gain God's favor in order to somehow lift himself above this taskmaster through good works. But Luther says, "My good works, so imperfect will were, they had no power to aid me. My will, God's judgments could not bear, yea, prone to evil made me. Grief drove me to despair, and I had nothing left me but to die. To hell I fast was sinking." To place our hope in what we do, or to somehow seek pleasure above and beyond in disregard to God's will, is simply a trap that the world lays out there, and its end is death. And we know there is only one sure way that enslavement can be broken and the slave set free. It is death. But in this case, we recognize that the death that sets the slave free is not the death of the slave, but rather the death of the Lord God, the Son of the Almighty. Instead of being left to die as slaves, our just and yet loving God went beyond what we would expect. Luther writes in that same hymn, "A father's heart he turned to me. He sought my redemption fervently, and he gave his dearest treasure." And that redemption came when our Heavenly Father, in love, sent his Son into the world. This Son that he sent to the world to take on human flesh came in our place to live the life we had failed to live, to obtain the holiness that we lacked, to then take that holy life, holy and unblemished, without spot, and to lay it down as that perfect sacrifice, the sacrifice unto death that sin's debt required. We know that this Son of God, our Lord Jesus, willingly, in obedience to the Father, died on the cross for us. And we know that our soul's redemption had been obtained. Yes, we know that he died for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. But we know that man's heart still had to be changed, because he had no power to save himself. He had no will to obey or to hear God. And so it was God who, in his mercy, not only provided the substitutionary death that paid sin's debt, but in love provided the means through which our hearts would be changed, that new life be given us. And that's why Paul, in this sixth chapter of Romans, gives us this beautiful image and truth, that it is through baptism that we now die with Christ. Through baptism, we are baptized into his death. And just as in the likeness of his resurrection, we too shall walk a new life. So as we see this wonderful gift obtained, we also recognize then the gospel's power that God gives in order to work a change in mind and heart. And through the gospel in word and sacrament. He creates new faith within us, new life, where there was no life before. And even as we are strengthened, as we come to partake of that holy meal where he gives us of himself, in the body and blood of his supper, we recognize that he strengthens his faith. He enlivens us in order that we might praise him and live for him. And that's why Paul asked a very serious question of all those who were the children of God. He says, "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness?" Paul is pleading to the Christians in Rome, to all Christians of all time. Are you forgetting your birthright? Remember what Christ has done for you. Wake up. Don't be a slave to sin. Don't enslave yourselves once again by leading a life that ultimately denies God's grace and love for you. Instead, he asks us to wake. He says, "Present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness." A holiness slave. That's quite a concept. How can this be? We know where it starts. In the power of the Holy Spirit sanctifying us, giving us that gift of faith, making us holy as we confess the name of Jesus and confess that we are children of God through faith in him. We now have that holiness. Not that we ourselves deserved it, but that God declares us forgiven, not guilty. And because we are now declared such and know this to be true, we confess the name of Christ. And he would have us to confess those sins of weaknesses that we often have, to turn away from sin, not to present ourselves as slaves of sin, but rather slaves of righteousness. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's why we can walk in newness of life. Because not only did we receive the warning, but we also received the promise. For the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we rejoice in the fact that God our Father has called us through the blessed means of grace, through that gospel in word and sacrament that ultimately leads us to confess his name and to walk in his ways. And so as we gather around our Lord's word and the promise we have this wonderful gift, the gift of eternal life. Gift. It's free. We didn't earn it. It was presented to us whole, totally wrapped. And then he went even further when he gave us the faith to claim it as our own and to confess the name of Jesus. May we truly confess his name and rejoice in it and seek to bring others into that blessed kingdom where they find that there is freedom from the slavery of sin. It is in the life, the death, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is he who we praise and honor. And we can go forward knowing the promise that the gift of God is everlasting life. And we can go with that assurance, and we may go in peace. Amen.